Tonight I'd like to invite you back over to the book of Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13.
Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 reads this way. It says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening asking for your blessing, Lord, that you might be honored and glorified tonight and that we might hear from you and be drawn closer to you and be strengthened in the faith and in the grace that you've given to us. Lord, build and bless Northwood Baptist Church and all your churches, but speak to us tonight, Lord, and show us your will and your way, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, the message is titled, Stand Still and See the Salvation of the Lord. Before it was just stand still, we're going to finish it by and see the salvation of the Lord. And so here are some good things here as we consider what the Lord was doing. And again, you know, we look at the difficulties that the people of Israel had in following God's direction. They had difficulties with that. They had they were dealing with unbelief. But again, the Lord knew that before we were ever created. And yet he said, you know what? You guys, we are worth it. I don't understand that. I'm going to give you my son. That to me is mind-boggling, isn't it? That God would give us his son. And he says, listen, I'm going to pay for all of your sins because I love you and I want you with me. Isn't that amazing that God wants us? And so he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He is the one that is worthy. He's the one that is able to deliver us. Isn't that good? He is the one that is able to deliver us. And so as we consider this, we just want to look at two thoughts tonight, and that is the salvation of the Lord and then the Lord's work of faith. So look with me here, if you will. In verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And again, remember, you know, this is Moses' his inner turmoil that he was having as well. He was having difficulties, and the Lord was telling him, here's the focal point. Follow the instructions. Do what I've asked you to do. It's not complicated. You know, if we think we're going to get some warm, fuzzy feeling because we obey the Lord, that's not always the case. We will see the hand of God when we obey him. We will see the blessings of God. But really, it comes down to honoring the Lord and following his directions. And in spite of what we think or how we feel, Lord, we're going to obey you. It may not make sense to us. Listen, this didn't make sense to them. Imagine this. The Egyptian army is marching and they're entrapped by the sea, and the Lord tells them, go towards the sea. Well, see, what they did not know was that God was going to open up the sea. And they've never seen that before. And by the way, Moses had never seen that also. But once that took place, their hearts were encouraged, were they not? And they were strengthened in the Lord. So let's see this progression here as it takes place. The Lord wanted them, if you look at the bottom of verse 15, the last two words there, the Lord wanted them to do what? Go forward. Amen? Go forward. You know what the Lord wants us to do today in faith? Go forward. Amen? He wants us to go forward in our faith. And listen, we can never go forward if we lean to our own understanding. That will keep us from going forward. If we look to what the world is saying, that will keep us from going forward. Here's what will keep us going forward. Ready? The Lord is faithful. Amen. And he says, if you'll follow me, I'll show you the way. Amen. And I will bless you. And can we count on that? Yes. Now, listen, you and I have been given a special revelation in the Lord Jesus Christ to know that that is true. The world has no clue. The world has no clue. And yet, listen, it's amazing to me how much archaeological finds. Did you know that they believe Amenhotep II is the Egyptian pharaoh that was alive, that was the pharaoh during the time of the Exodus? Do you know that his father reigned for some, I think it was about 50 years. And so this falls in line because remember, Moses was on the backside of the desert for how long? For 40 years, right? Yeah. And so he, I don't know exactly where the time frame, but he would be around the same time. Remember, because the Lord said, go back. The Pharaoh, he's dead now. There's a new one in town, right? But this one has changed. And this Pharaoh that they found, and by the way, I can't remember, he was a French archaeologist in the late 1800s, like 1898. And he discovered this tomb. And in this tomb also, he found a young boy. They say he's probably about 11 to 15 years old is what they're guessing. And he had a princess. It was his son. There was a name that was there inscribed on his mummy. And then also, not only that, but this Amenhotep, of all the pharaohs that they have, right, that they have the mummies of, this one's got boil marks on his neck and all over his body. Imagine that. That sounds a little familiar, like one of the plagues that he must have gone through. And so now listen, the world would say that's a coincidence. But see, as a child of the king, we say that's the Lord. Amen. And he has, listen, there are things, there is an archaeological, there's evidence of God's handiwork. And so we can see that God is faithful, not only because of what he's doing in our hearts and in our lives, but also by what he's already done and already said in the lives of those who have gone before us. And so God wants us to have the kind of faith that will encourage and glorify the Lord and encourage and inspire the next generation to want to follow the Lord in spite of what the world might be doing or saying. And we know that the world does not like the Lord. We know that the world will always be against God. And so listen, but God has, listen, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. God will overcome the flesh. God can overcome all of our obstacles that he might receive the honor and glory in and through our lives. And by the way, listen, that is the will of God. Amen. All we need to do is to go forward and trust him by faith. Verse 16, but lift thou up thy rod, stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel, listen, shall, they not might, they shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Amen. That's the promise of God. So what was left for Moses to do? To think about it? To wait to see what comes on the evening news before he does anything? Or shall he obey and go forward in the command of the Lord? If he goes forward, he'll see the work of God, won't he? And so notice what happens. He says, verse 17, and I, behold, I will harden the heart of the Egyptians. The Lord is telling him what he's going to do. And they shall follow them, speaking of Israel, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. Listen, the Lord said, I'm going to get honor from Pharaoh. Right. Now, let me ask you this. Did that come to pass, what we're reading here? Did the Lord know it was going to come to pass? Isn't that amazing? Now let me ask you a little bit of a different question. Did the people of Israel know it was going to come to pass? They did not know that, did they? But God knew it. Question tonight, does God know where you and I sit and stand in life? He does, right? And he says, I want to honor and glorify myself in and through the lives specifically of Northwood Baptist Church. He says, if you will follow me, I will show you what I can do, and I will get glory from even the world and those who will oppose us for the honor and glory of the Lord, and we will see the things that God wants to bring to pass that will build our faith and confidence in the Lord God. This is the process. So they came to a little bit of a hard place, didn't they, Israel? They came into a place of, what's going on? This doesn't look right. By the way, listen, that happens in the life of every child of God. Did it happen to Job? Did he understand everything? No, he did not. And by the way, listen, what moved him forward? It was the faithfulness of God. By the way, listen, Daniel also experienced some hardship, didn't he? When he was supposed to not give any petitions to anybody but to Darius, right? And what did he do? He obeyed the Lord. In spite of knowing the opposition, he stood true to his God. And question, was God able to deliver him? Amen. Amen. Is God still in the delivering business today? Will he deliver you and I? Absolutely he will. So God was encouraging the people, and he was telling them, this is what's going to take place. Verse 18, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. Did you see that? God wants the world to know that he is the Lord, and he is going to do that through his people. So that's his plan. And when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, verse 18, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. Where's the Lord? Right in the middle of them. Where's the Lord? The Lord is working with his people. Amen. And he's also working against the world that is in opposition to him. So here's the Lord. And middle of verse 18, the Lord moves behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Do you know the Lord will shine a light into our lives in the midst of a dark and dying world? Now listen. You and I have the light of the truth of God's word. Amen. We have confidence in him. The world doesn't have that. God has given to us stability. Do we not know what's going to happen in the end? As a safe child of God, will God not take us into his presence? Isn't that our final destination? You know what? I dare say it would be worth our while that we glorify the Lord every day we live on planet Earth, because we're going to see our Savior face to face. And the only thing that will have any value in eternity is what? The things that we did for Christ. Everything else is a byproduct. It's not that we can't enjoy this life. That's not what God is saying. He's saying, don't forget me. And remember where you get everything. Every good gift comes from where? From God, right? From our Heavenly Father. Every good gift, every good thing comes from the Lord. So he says, keep the right perspective, because the wrong perspective will cause us to fear and doubt, and that's not what God wants for us. So the Israelites, the people of God, experienced the 10 plagues that Egypt went through, and they didn't deal with it. Isn't that amazing? And so, but wait a minute, they saw that, and now they're in this other place, and they're still kind of wavering in their faith, aren't they? But the Lord knows that, and what is the Lord trying to do? Is he trying to encourage them to trust him or discourage them? He's trying to encourage them. But here's the thing, whenever we decide to do something for the Lord, we will always have to have faith or trust in the Lord. And not lean to our own understanding. We always, listen, we have to look to what God has said and know that if we follow what God has said, will he not be faithful? He'll be faithful every time. He'll be faithful. That's all. Listen, it's just that simple. We don't have to over-engineer it. We don't have to even MIT it. We could just say, look, take it for face value. What God has promised, he will fulfill. He'll bring it to pass. So, verse 21, what does he do? And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. Who did the work? The Lord. He used a human instrument, but all Moses did was follow the Lord's direction. Moses had nothing to do with the parting of the sea other than following what God said. Amen. That was it. Moses could never, nobody could ever open up the sea. God's the only one. And by the way, listen, in your life and mine, God is the only one that can open up our understanding and separate the world and the flesh from the things that are spiritual and true and of great value, that we will prize and seek to possess them more than anything else on this side of eternity. God is the one that will do that. And here's the thing, Lord, I need you to show me what is of great worth and great value. And here's what he'll tell us. Ready? Our relationship with him. Our communion with him. Our looking to him from where all good things come from. And giving him the honor and the glory and the credit for it. And so, The sea opens up all that night. And notice this at the bottom of verse 21. And made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. That must have been something to see. What? I had no clue what that could possibly look like, but that must have been amazing, right? Can you imagine? Listen, do you know that God wants to do the impossible in our lives? Listen, do you know what? We cannot be faithful without the Lord, can we? We cannot glorify the Lord without Him. But with Him, we can do what? God can enable us to do His will by His grace to His honor and glory and to our blessing. And so what happens here in verse 22? And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground. Question, what do you think was their experience? Now remember where they were at. Got to remember this. Listen, the Egyptian army was out to kill them. And they knew it. They were entrapped by the sea. The Lord opens up the sea for them. And they start going through it. What do you think must have been going through their minds? What a great God. Amen. Amen. Look at what the Lord, and they're walking through it. And they're saying, look at the faithfulness of God. Do you think this was causing them to worship the Lord? Their lives were spared, weren't they? By the hand of God, not their own. And they were glorifying the Lord, walking through there, praising God. Do you know God wants to bring us to that place in our lives? There are things that God wants to overcome in our life that might be entrapping us and keeping us from going forward in the Lord. God wants to open up things in our lives that will cause us to draw nearer to our God and His will for our lives. This is what the Lord wants to do. And so, here they are, and the sea, the water was opened up there in verse 22. And then notice what happens. So now listen, this is a good thing. They're going through the midst of the sea, and no doubt they're praising the Lord. But wait a minute. And just when you, listen, it's good, and it's going to get even better. And they don't understand this. They're probably going, man, this is great. And what happens here in verse 23? And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen. Now, I would dare say that the Israelites were saying, that was not my plan. That was not what I wanted to have happen in my life. That's not what they wanted. But listen, who's at work here? Does God know what He's doing even when we don't know what He's doing? Can we trust Him that He knows what He's doing? Listen, everything with God has been planned out completely in our lives. Here's the question. Will we trust the Lord? That's what it comes down to. Will we trust the Lord for Him to fulfill His will in our lives? And so, here come Pharaoh's army. And in verse 24, it says, and it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host. So here we have their crossing. Now, God waited to a specific time in the morning watch. And the Israelites see what's going on. For sure, the Lord knows what's going on. And again, we looked at this morning, but let's review this just very quickly here. Verse 24, and it came to pass in the morning watch, and this is about 3 to 6 in the morning, that the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. So question, where was the Lord? Right there, right in the middle of them. Right in the middle of them. You know where the Lord is in our lives today? Right in the middle. He's right in the middle. And notice what the Lord does. See, does God love His people? Yes. And I don't know, this strikes me a little bit. I think God was serious, but this struck me a little bit. You know, when wheels come flying off, you just look at the old kind of comedy movies and stuff like that. It almost looks like something that just kind of comical, right? God was serious in what He was doing, But boy, it just kind of appears a little bit humorous to me. Here they are, they're driving, and they think they're getting somewhere. And none of the Egyptians ever imagined in a million years this was going to happen. But by the way, listen, may I remind us that the world does not ever imagine in a million years that they will stand before God Almighty and give a full account. And by the way, let me remind us, we didn't at one time either. And God has left us here to experience the Lord and yield to the Lord, that the Lord might be working in our lives in such a way that the world could see God is with us. Amen. Isn't that the plan? God with us. And so, verse 25, and took off their chariot wheels that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel. Listen, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Did they know? They absolutely did know. Question, when you remember all those princes, the other presidents and the other governors got together against Daniel? And I dare say they probably made sure those lions were hungry. They didn't want Daniel to have a chance. Do you think they were a little bit surprised when Daniel was still alive? Do you think they said, oh, we're in for it now? We're in for it. And then when they heard the decree from the king, and listen, and these were the ones that were involved, but there may have been others that didn't like Daniel either. Do you think that the ones that weren't involved and saw what happened, saw that the God of Daniel defended him and delivered him? Do you know that God wants to do the same thing in our lives, that the world might see and yield and humble themselves and say, I'm going to believe in the God of his people. Amen? Amen? The God of Israel and the God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what God wants. That's how God works. He has not changed. And so as we consider this, notice what it says here in verse 26. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea. If that wasn't enough, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. Now, listen, Israel did not know the plan. Here's what they probably thought. Well, they're never going to catch up to us now. They probably, I would dare say, they're dragging them pretty heavy. They have some problems there. They're being distracted. But God wasn't finished, was he? And so what happens here? Verse 26, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea. What's he doing? He's obeying the Lord. And the sea returned. Listen, could God have not just closed up the sea without Moses? But he used Moses, didn't he? Listen, can God glorify himself without us? Absolutely. But his choice is to glorify himself in and through our lives. That's his choice. We are, and I don't understand it, a chosen vessel, a peculiar people to the holiness of God. But we will never encounter that unless we are willing to follow the Lord in how many of his ways? In all of his ways. Are we faithful if we veer out of one way? Can we add to the word of God? Listen, can we say we're doing the Lord's work and we are in opposition to what God's word is saying? Will we see the hand of God if we are walking contrary and if we're adding things or excusing ourselves from certain things that he's commanded? We can never do that. So here's a real question. Do we need God's help? We do need God's help. You know what we will do every time without God's help? You know what we'll do. What will we do? We'll fail. Every time, we'll fail. And if you listen, God will see to it. Because he won't share his glory. Nobody's going to say, look what I did for you. You know what we're all going to say? What did Daniel say when he was delivered from the lion's den? Remember Darius? Daniel? Was the God whom you served, was he able to deliver you? Who delivered Daniel? Yes, my God did deliver me. Do you know what we'll say when we stand before the throne of God and what we should be saying even on this side of eternity? The Lord is my deliverer. Without my God, I will fail him every time. Without my God. And Moses stretched forth his hand, verse 27, over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. When the morning appeared and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. And there remained not so much as one of them. All of them are gone. The whole army is gone. Isn't that amazing? The whole army is gone. I think Pharaoh thought this was going to be a cakewalk. I don't think Pharaoh planned on doing that or seeing that. And so here it is. God wipes them all out. And by the way, once again, what do you think Israel's thinking? Remember, they were after their lives. God is good and faithful. And by the way, we need to be reminded of this. When they first got cornered, remember when they were complaining, when they were saying, "You brought us all the way out here to die," was that faith or unbelief? It was unbelief, wasn't it? And so listen, God, all of us, do you know we all have to work through that? But here's what it comes down to. How did they go from unbelief to experiencing the grace and faith of the working of God in their lives? By moving forward. By following the Lord. By setting aside how they felt and what they saw. Because we can see defeat. We can see that we're out. Listen, there is a lot of wickedness in the world today. Is that wickedness greater than God's glory and grace? Will it ever be? What are we afraid of? Why are we looking, and I say we, to what the world is doing? Why should we? We should be looking at the glory and power of the Lord and moving forward for God. Amen. God can still do business if we'll do business with God. Amen. If we will set time aside and say, "God, I'm going to call upon," isn't that what he said? "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Amen. But if there's no calling, are we following the Lord? No. If we want to engage somebody, they'll hear from us, won't they? If we say we love somebody, will they know who we are? They should. Right. We should be interacting with them. Do we love the Lord? Amen. We ought to be interacting with him, should we not? And by the way, listen, that's for all of us. Question. We are frail, are we not? Yes. How easy is it for us to forget the Lord tomorrow? How easy is it for us to get busy about, for all of us? We're not, God, keep me before your throne. Lord, help me not to consider seeking you in prayer and through your word as a task that is not worthy of my time and my effort and my pursuit. Because I'll miss the Lord in that. And one day, listen, if we're not careful, and it could go on for days. It can go on for months. It can go on for years unless we make an appointment with the Lord. And when we make that appointment, that we say, "God, you are worthy of me setting aside this time to meet with you." I would dare say, listen, do you think, this is what was said about George Washington. From 4 to 6 o'clock, you could find him in prayer. Is it amazing that God did so many things through him? And how he survived all these different things? And how God brought him through all these different things? And how, because of his faithfulness to the Lord that he used for his honor and glory, he's one of the founding fathers of our nation that has given to us the freedoms that we enjoy today. Amen. To serve God, by the way. to serve. And George Washington said that on his farewell address and had concern about us leaving our pursuit of the Lord. And so we need the Lord.
Amen.
And so what could be said about us and our pursuit of the Lord? We say we love the Lord, don't we? We love God.
Right.
He first loved us. What are we doing in our relationship with the Lord that proves that? Just between you and the Lord. Nobody else knows. What is it going on in our lives? And if it's not the right thing, if it's not a genuine commitment to seeking God out on a daily basis, then it's no wonder that we're going to miss out on what God wants to do. God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't hold one person more important or less important than the other. He says, if you will seek me, you'll find me. He says, if you'll be real with me, guess what? He'll be with us. He'll be real with us. And not only will we see it, but the world will see it as well. And so what happens here? Verse 29. But the children of Israel walked upon dry ground. Remember, the Egyptian army was done away with. Not one of them were left. Verse 29, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. Who saved Israel?
The Lord.
Who will save us?
The Lord.
The Lord will save us. Thus, verse 30 again, the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. They needed to see that. Their enemy was done. Why did they need to see that? Because they saw the oppression that they experienced at the hand of the Egyptians, and no doubt, possibly, let me give you a little conjecture, a little bit of my opinion here. Possibly, some of the Egyptians before Moses came back on the scene to deliver them, they had seen their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents die in slavery. Possibly some of them that were delivered thought, I'll die here too.
Right.
Don't you think some of them may have thought that?
Right.
What do you think some of them that may have thought that are thinking now? What a great God. What a great God. And God has delivered us from hell. God has delivered us from condemnation. So the Lord saves them. They see the enemy wiped out. And by the way, our enemy has been wiped out also. But we still have battles to fight, don't we? And how will we fight those battles? By ourselves? With the Lord. And Israel, listen to this. This is what God wants us to see, and we're done. And Israel saw that great work which the Israelites did. And they saw the great work of their hands. No, what does it say? And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people, listen, what was the result? Feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. That was God's plan. Was that not God's plan?
Amen. Yes.
That was God's plan. Is God the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Yes.
If we will seek the Lord and trust him and not lean to our own understanding, God will do things that you and I can never do. I really believe, listen, the light of God can shine through Northwood Baptist Church.
Amen.
If we will seek him and say, Lord, I want your will in my life. See, here's the thing. You can't do it for me, and I can't do it for you.
Amen.
Because God wants us to do it for ourselves personally with him.
Right.
See, we can only call upon the Lord for ourselves and say, God, I need you. You know what that's saying? I'm humbling myself because without you, I truly know. I don't want to just repeat, go through the same thing and chalk off another church session and nobody's getting saved. And I'm not against promoting ourselves and putting ourselves out in the public. You know, we're doing this family movie night, but that's not going to save souls. We may draw a crowd, but without God, not one soul will be saved. Not one. So if we're banking on drawing a crowd and people being saved, we're mistaken unless we're calling upon the Lord and saying, Lord, that you might save souls and use me. And let's not wait upon that time to come for that program. Let's be the witnesses God wants us to be now by his grace. And listen, you figure out what's comfortable for you. You might be a nervous wreck to talk to somebody about salvation, but you can lay a track down somewhere where somebody you think might pick it up. You can lay one down somewhere. You don't even have to talk to anybody. You can just set one down. And somebody, listen, and I'm really going to finish with this here. I've said this before. I've only heard it once, but it can happen, and I think it can happen again. Brother Hugo Malazzi is a medical doctor who does the MAC missions, been doing it since like the 1980s. He gave his testimony of salvation. He was playing a soccer game and somebody gave him a track. And he put it in his pocket, or I can't remember exactly, but he read it later on. And through that track, the word of God was spoken to him. He saw his need and trusted the Lord and got saved because nobody witnessed him. Somebody gave him a track. That was it. And I cannot tell you how many times this man has preached the gospel and gone to foreign countries to help the sick. You think that person who gave him that track will ever be sorry when they see him in heaven?
No.
Wow. You think they might? He doesn't even know who that person was.
Right.
And how many souls have been saved and touched by the ministry that God placed on Hugo Malazzi because of some individual that gave a track?
Amen.
Don't underestimate the power of the Word of God.
Amen.
May we be faithful and found faithful until he returns. Amen?
Amen?
Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, thanking you again, Lord, for your mercy and grace and your goodness to us, Lord, and your patience, your long-suffering. Lord, we can go our own way, and you know that, and we know that. And yet, Lord, you love us. That is amazing to me, and I thank you for that. Lord, we ask for your mercy and grace to work in our lives. Open up our hearts and minds to see, Lord, your will and to obey your will in what you want us to do in seeking you to bring these things, these promises that you've given to us to pass in our own personal lives. Bless Northwood Baptist Church. Build her for your honor and glory. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.